to the Divorce Devil podcast, a show tailor-made for those stepping out of the divorce recovery space. Follow your hosts, David and Rachel, as they dive into the all-too-familiar shitstorm of the more-than-interesting end-of-the-road divorce topics, stories, and discussions. While realizing it can be a trying stage, they have been where you are and understand the struggle. And yes, the struggle is real. They know that recovery can be such a clusterfuck. Check out the podcast if you feel like you're juggling chainsaws, then strap in and hold on for some honesty, authenticity, and hard-in-your-face irrefutable truths. This innovative podcast is not for the faint-hearted, so if you can't handle the certain truths, just keep it moving. If you can, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody out there, to Divorce Devil episode 168. David and Rachel on the mic. Today we're talking about financial changes post-divorce. What's the name of the topic? Come on, help me out.
Financial check-in.
Financial check-in. When you divide half your shit and you hope it works and it goes to shit. So, yeah.
This one for me is funny because when I was contemplating divorce and contemplating like this can't be how it's supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. My ex was making like $200,000. I was making money. We lived in a 6,000 square foot house. We did the vacations. We had the houses. We did, we were living like but we worked our way up, right? Like when we met,
moving on up to the east side. That deluxe apartment in the sky. Go ahead.
I love you, David. we grew up together. We created a life together. And we decided together that some parts of our life where I was going to stay home. And then, I was working as a nurse. And as a nurse, you only have to work 3 days a week. Yes, it's 12-hour shifts. But there was a lot of time, those extra days I could have worked and saved money, but I was thinking of the now, right? We don't really think about the future and what's going to happen when we're surviving, especially in the economy that we're in today. Like if you're getting a divorce today, hold on to your hats because who knows what's going to be like in, a year or two. But when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, one of the first things you have to do when you're contemplating divorce is how much money do I make? How much money does the other person make? Who's going to have to pay child support if you have kids? Is there going to be alimony? Is there going to be this? Who's going to have to get a new house? Or who's staying in the house? Who's leaving? Who's going? You had a car, but maybe the car was in both their names. So you have to buy that other person out of their car or out of the house or whatever. There's a lot of things that go into your financial stability. And we all know the story from listening to the podcast that I literally found out I owed a ton of money to the IRS that I didn't know about. You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm not agreeing with you. Yes.
When there was brass tax, I was like, I got $27 in the bank. This happened all in a matter of a month. I went
happens
from
quick.
This great life to now I'm living in my friend's parents' house free because I can't afford anything. We're paying all these bills to the IRS and credit cards and, having to sell the house and get a rental house and all these things that you don't think about when you just need to get out, right? Mm-hmm. And so mine was, what the hell do I do with $27? What do I do? And so it was a lot of, this was my, phase where, hey, you want to go out and maybe could you buy me dinner? Or, sure, I'll go out, but I can only spend $5. Like, do I have enough gas to get out? Do I have this? Like, so a lot of my early divorce stuff was, again, survival. And you don't think about the future of how is this going to get better? And at that point, it could only go up, right? I still had a job. I was, we got paid like once a month. And so I had to make my paycheck last an entire month. I have a son who was in sports and all these things. And so if you can survive that, or again, if I can do it, y'all can do it. So I think you need to get – it came down to me too going, okay, let me make a budget. Here's how much money I make. Here's what happens. I wasn't budgeting before. He made a ton of money.
And I just spend that money. Life changes, baby. Life changes.
And I think there were moments where I'm like, you need to pay me so I can survive. And he was like, you left.
That was before the court stuff, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Before the end, okay.
Before the actual filing and,
yep.
You know, well, it was put out there and filed, but we filed a separation to start. And so it's a legal separation. So you have to actually go to court or go to wherever and then file a divorce. So it's different. Mm-hmm. So all that time that you were separated, you were still considered together, but not. You were still doing things as a married couple, right? And because we were trying to make it work. And at one point it was like, that's it, we're done. And so again, the whole process starts all over when you go from a separation to a divorce. It's like, okay, now it's final that we're no longer going to be a married couple. And it costs money to get divorced. Like, it's not free.
Oh, yeah. So, it ain't free.
Yeah. And so I think one partner is always blindsided and the other partner is always like, why the fuck do I have to pay that? Well, together you guys make this much. And if one person makes way less, it has to be even, especially if you're...
Even the scales. Oh, yeah.
And you decided to be together. And a lot of times I sacrificed my work so he could make more money because there was a better potential for him to make more money in construction than there was me working as a nurse 3 days a week. And then I'd have to work 4 days a week, and that's a lot of 12-hour day shifts for a lot. It doesn't seem like a lot, but 12-hour days as a nurse on your feet all day and then trying to sleep and have a family and all the things. I get people do it, but... We also, as a married couple, decided that I want you to be home. I don't want you to work overtime or 60 hours a week or 90 hours a week or work 5 days a week and not be available for the kids. So, because plus daycare, way expensive, especially in New Jersey. I don't know what it's like now because I don't have any little kids, but
it's college tuition,
right? Exactly. Yep. So, it was cheaper for me to not have to put him in daycare for a full week or whatever.
Oh, yeah, and cheaper not to work.
I was like, yeah, go to school. Woohoo, go to school. Go to public school. So I think now looking back, the struggles that I got through that have made me stronger, have made me a better financial awareness. Like, we had credit cards I didn't even know we had. There was credit cards in my name I didn't know I had. And so... You know, just I think we need, especially as women, I can't say for men, because I think men, a lot of that was put onto men back in the day to be the provider to do that. But with women working and stuff like that, just as equally or just as awesome jobs now. And I think we need to learn financial responsibility earlier in life, and it needs to be equal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I have a friend that when he went through his divorce, have that friend who went through his divorce, and his soon-to-be ex thought that she was going to get all this money, and she wanted actually petition the court for him to work an extra day so he could pay more alimony. Oh yeah, it was crazy for my friend.
I love psychosis.
Yeah, my friend went through some shit, and so. It turned out to be a lot less than what she thought, but it really hurt my friend financially, and he struggled at first. And so with him, it was more, at first it was about the money and the mindset, because the mindset is like, man, I'm paying all this cash. But then it became to the point where the mindset was like, hey, this is a rental fee to keep this woman away from me. Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you go through that. And you almost have to have a mindset. But I know there's women out there paying alimony too. So not just men. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So that's
someone that does that. We know someone that was in there. And yeah. I think too, we need to get to a state of, you know, no one goes into a marriage thinking that they're going to get divorced and going to have to split everything, right? You can't cut the dog in half. I'd heard that a lot. I'm like, oh, yeah, so someone has to give in for that. Like, so if you have a dog, and that's, say you don't have any children, you have a dog, and now you're divorced, who gets the dog? Do you get child support of the dog, or, you know, do you cut the dog in half? And someone eventually is going to feel like they didn't get what they deserve. But I think what we need to learn, too, is what's the value of happiness?
Yeah.
What is happiness worth? If you honestly can't live with this person anymore, what is that worth?
It's almost like we talked about before, is sometimes being cordial at first is hard, but once you figure out, you know, something, you know, it's kind of like an orgasm. You can fake it. Hey, men can fake it too. You just got to have like an eyedropper filled with flour and water and just script.
David!
Mix a little salt in it.
No, stop it. Stop.
So you guys don't have the...
I don't know if that's true. Do men actually fake that? Because that I'm not sure about. But.
Well, my friend did once as he was going through his divorce because he, instead of quitting it, he hit it one last time. And about halfway through, he said that, man, what am I doing? So he's like, yeah.
Just pretend you have paralysis all of a sudden.
Yeah. So, yeah. Are you having a stroke or is that an orgasm? It's an orga stroke. It's an orga stroke.
That's pseudo
stroke. A strogasm. Yes.
How does this have to do anything with money?
But as they were going through the divorce, he hit it one last time, and he's like, man, what the hell am I doing? So right in the middle, he's like,
he hit it with the one he was getting divorced with?
Yes.
What?
Yes. He went back to the well, and right in the middle, he's like, what was I thinking?
Oh, my gosh.
And after that, tell my friend what the fuck you were doing. But, hey, my friend has regrets, and that's one of his biggest regrets, I think. Going back to the well one last time. It's like, man.
You know what? Your friend shouldn't be too upset because that is very common because we want to feel comforted. We want to feel what we had before.
Plus, it was available. It was like, hey, hit that. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, too, it's a comfort space, right? It's
in more ways than one. In more ways than one, it's a comfort space, yes. It's a warm space, girlfriend. Girlfriend, it's a space. It's a warm girl, I guess. Woohoo, it's warm.
So eventually your friend decided that, you know, it's worth paying the money so you don't have to fake an orgasm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. At this point, I think my friend would pay double.
I think, too, like, one of my things I remember when I was going to divorce, and I had $27 in the bank, and he's complaining about all this stuff. He's like, he was still doing all the things that we did as a family, going out to the dinners, doing the vacations, going to do. And I'm sitting here going, that's not fair. How's that fair? How is that fair that you're going out to a $200 dinner and I'm literally having ramen again? And then I was like, well, you left. It's your fault. You left. Don't cry because you decided that you didn't want that anymore. So you in your own mind, in your own healing, have to come to terms with your decisions, your things. And at some point, that doesn't affect you anymore, right?
Yep.
So even like there were times with COVID I lost my job due to COVID, right? And he's working and then, you know, it was slower and he left a job and he didn't have money to pay me. And I was like, well, if he doesn't pay me, then I definitely can't survive. And it really was that asking for help or asking for a handout is not beneath us, right? Sometimes we need help. And it took me yesterday I didn't feel great. And for me to have other people taking care of me was like, what? Like, I literally had to depend on people at work to get me home because I was so sick. In my divorce, I had to ask, like, hey, can you put gas in my car? Hey, can you do this? Hey, can I watch your kids so I can make some money? Hey, can I, you know, so I can survive. I can
do what you must.
Looking outside of the box. But it also doesn't mean it makes you less of a person. It means that you're in a situation that you've never been in before. You don't know how to do it. And it's okay to ask for help. And, you know, growing up, you know, super poor and we had stuff still and, you know, I think we need to take the, you know, just because they don't have money at the time doesn't mean I'm not worth know, a life. And so financially, you know, I'm in a great space now. I'm making good money. I can afford all my bills with a lot of extra money. I have a partner who's was very helpful during the pandemic and helping me look for a job and not being upset if I couldn't find a job because COVID was like, well, you need to wait 2 weeks to make sure you don't have COVID. And then you need another 2 weeks to do this. And people didn't want to pay you for a month working because you had to do all the pandemic stuff. And, you know, I got into a job and I hated it. And then I found another job while I was in that job and it worked out where now I'm in a job that I love and, you know, have gotten a great
most of the time. Most of the time.
Well, and again, every job has their shit.
Yep.
Does that mean I don't love my job? There's times when I don't love my job, but there's times when I absolutely love where I'm at and the people I'm with and the kids that I'm with. And, you know, not all parents are assholes.
Just most of them. But there you go.
I'd say 90% of the parents in our school are pretty cool. It's the 10 with anything, the squeaky wheel that's like rakes on your nerves. And the ones that, you know, don't parent the way that you think they should, well, maybe it works for them. And me learning that compassion of, you know, they may not have had the role models in their life to parent. And, you know, they may not be the person that's going to break the generational curse. Maybe their kid is going to be the one that breaks that curse of being a good parent and doing the necessities that kids need, hygiene, all this stuff.
Have you ever thought about if you didn't leave the house and just moved downstairs in a room? Well, no, until the divorce was over. What was the straw that broke the camel's back? You had to move out.
I could not be somewhere that I – that was when I hated him.
Okay.
That's when I hated him. Like, I could not be there anymore. I'm like, why am I – I'm just sad being here. And so it was just that one day I'm just like, you know what? I've had enough. You've had enough. I've had enough. This isn't working for us. Then I got the opportunity to move into someone – at the time, my best friend's parents' house.
There you go.
I have a beautiful house. And they're like, you can have the whole downstairs. There's a bathroom, your own kitchen, your own everything.
It was opportunity.
Like, well, how much? And they're like, no, you can just come stay here. Get your feet on the ground. And then if you need help, do whatever. And they were just wonderful. And, you know, the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah.
Where I was like, let me see how it feels to be out. Because there were days I would actually go back to the house when he wasn't there, like if he was traveling and stuff, so my son wouldn't have to be out of the house. Because he'd come to my house and we had one bedroom, a shower, a living room, stuff like that. But it wasn't home, right? It wasn't his. He didn't have a space. And so I would stay at the house when he wasn't there, or we'd switch a weekend if he was going off for work or whatever. And I'd go there and be like, this is not my house anymore. This is not my home. Things would be moved. Pictures were down. The things were moved around. And, you know, some of my stuff was still there. Like, I stored some of my stuff at the house. And when it didn't feel like home anymore, I knew it wasn't my space anymore. So.
Well, there you go.
And then I met Lance and, you know, we have a pretty good thing, I think.
There you go. And that's okay, too. I don't want to be callous or shallow. You want to hang out with somebody who's at your level. How can I say that nicely?
Yeah. Yeah. That you want to be.
Yeah.
You want to be in a space where you don't have to pretend to be something else. Where you don't have to fake nice. Because that's draining. That is. That can cause depressions. Like, I don't think people understand depression when you're going through divorce and depression of like, I'm diagnosed depression, right? I think there's different levels of it. And financial depression can like lead to this like, oh my gosh, I have nothing. I'm not worth anything. I have baggage. No one's going to love me. All the things. Financial stuff can cause bouts of depression.
Yep.
That doesn't mean you have depression, right? So, because you can work your way out of it. And there was a lot of times where I'm just like, okay, now what? Now what? And I think when you find someone that allows you to be you and allows you to have your ups and downs and to, you know, support you. Lance helped me financially a lot. Like, and I'm thankful for that. But I am the person, I'm like, I don't need your help. The boss of me, you don't need that. And it took me taking down some of my walls to accept a
help.
Bill or, you know, gas money your the groceries or whatever, and you know, working at that together. And I feel like even in my marriage, there was a lot of, I make more money than you, so I'm the boss. Well, okay. Or I felt that. Maybe he didn't always project that, but you know, he expected a lot more because he made the most money.
Yep.
Or it was always like, why'd you spend $30 at Target, but yet you just went and spent, you know, $50,000 on a car, but didn't ask. Okay. I have to ask for $30 from Target, but you don't have to tell me you're buying a car.
Yeah. And that was things are equal.
You know, so, and a lot of things financially, my ex-mother-in-law made her money, like she had multiple businesses, all stuff. She would give him money and then be like, well, I gave him money. And I'm like,
what?
That? Like, what are you talking about? So a lot of my marriage, I wasn't the first or second person in it. It was always someone outside of it going, oh, well, he said he needed this because he did this and da da da. Or I just gave him money. And I'm like, okay, well, that didn't benefit any of us. It benefited him and you. And now you feel like you are his, you know, savior because you gave him money. I don't know. There was just a lot of things financially that weren't right in my marriage.
Yeah.
That I didn't know until I was getting divorced.
So what do you tell people out there when they're going to divorce or thinking about divorce? What should they take steps financially, maybe? Get a snapshot. Yeah.
I feel like I should have listened to my mother more. My mother was always the, make sure you always have $20 in your glove compartment in case you forget your wallet. Make sure you have a rainy day fund. My mom had money hidden all over our house. We were poor, and I was like, Mom, I needed shoes. My shoes had a hole in them. Oh, no, we don't know when we're going to need it. I fucking need shoes. I need shoes, Mom. But she, like, even when she passed away, like, we would find, like, rolled up money in, like, shoes, in, like, purses, in, like, I'm like, this lady had bank.
But so she was a rainy day lady.
She was preparing for something, and I'm like, I should have done that. I should have not put that on. And again, I sometimes, too, had thought, like, how dare I put that all on him to think that he had to financially do all that?
Mm-hmm.
And why was he the only one that was thinking about the bank accounts and the mortgage and the thing? And I just knew my money went into a bank account and we paid our bills.
So
I was taking care of the kids and working. And
so, like, be informed. Get informed of your financial snapshot.
No matter how much you love somebody, no matter how much, you should have your own money, they should have their own money, and then you should have a joint. There shouldn't just be a joint. I'm sorry. That may not be the right thing to say, but I think that we all, because if I want to go get my hair done, I'm not asking you. I want to go get my hair done. But if
bitch slips.
If there's something for the house or for us, that comes out with the joint. But I make good money. I work my ass off. I work 8 hours a day, and I don't sit most of the day. I barely eat. I barely am able to go to the bathroom. I am on call 8 hours a day with littles, right? So I earned my money. I honestly believe I earned my money. If I want to go buy myself a pair of shoes, I'm going to buy myself a pair of shoes. I'm not asking my partner. I'm not asking. But if, you know, if you want to go, if we want to go somewhere together, hey, I'll buy the tickets, you buy the rooms, or we will buy the car together, like do stuff like that.
Or we have a big purchase, you communicate first.
You know, one of my friends from growing up, her husband got sick and he had to quit his job. So now she's the sole financial person. Together, they, middle class, perfect. They were able to do all the things. He passed away. She's the only person now that does all the stuff. And she knew barely anything about finances.
Damn.
And it was a slap in her face going, all the medical bills, all the things are now on her because he's not there to help her.
Yep.
You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You have no idea. Can you afford all of the things that you both do together by yourself? I know I couldn't.
And that's a hard question to even answer sometimes. Yep.
And I think we need to ask the hard questions because a lot of times it's like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. I got credit cards. Oh, it's fine. I got this. My mom can help me. My dad can. I don't have a mom and dad. I don't have an inheritance. I don't have anything. I have three children. I have a car payment. If something were to happen to myself or, you know, Lance, Who's paying for my car? Who's paying for my things? I don't want to leave that burden on anybody. So I know, like, I have, like, a life insurance thing. Like, it's going to pay for this. It's going to do that. It'll pay for my funeral. It'll pay for whatever. And I think when you're growing, like, we met each other when we were, like, 19, 20. When you're growing up together, those are the things you're not thinking about. You're not thinking about when I die. You're not thinking about, you know, if one of us can't work anymore because of an illness or a car accident.
Or when I get divorced.
And who thinks about, okay, wedding day. So when we get divorced, I get half.
Yep.
It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Half is not really half.
No, it's not.
Because there's no way to cut anything financially in half. No. Yeah, you might have to, and one person might have to buy the other person out of their house. Do you refinance? Do you take a second, you know, second mortgage out? Yep. One person is going to be belly up. And it's not really fair because you've both grew this life together in a lifestyle with two incomes and two of this.
It's kind of hard to split. What do you say? It's hard to split the dog?
Yeah, you can't split the dog. So someone's going to lose out on the dog. Someone's either going to have the dog. Someone might have to get a new dog. So someone's going to have to pay for puppy training or, you know, if you have to kennel your dog when you go away because there's not someone else to watch the dog when you have a business trip or whatever. There's so many things I think we don't think about as young adults that, like, I try to instill in my children, too, is, like, invest. Find things that, you know, take some financial courses. School should offer that. Like, when I was going to high school, we had a class called Life. They taught you budgeting and accounting and getting a job. And we had to, like, get married and
how to balance a checkbook.
Take a career out of a hat and how much money you have to spend and the bills and how to balance your checkbook and all the things. So I think we need to get back to each person in this world is responsible for themselves. When you bring someone else into it, they're responsible for themselves. When you bring yourself together, you need to work on that finite middle ground and
together.
See what works for both of you, you know? So it can't just be, oh, you make more money, you should pay for the bigger things, or you make more money, you should do this. Like, you have to have those conversations early on. Divorce, especially when you're going to divorce, everybody's pissed off at everybody, so you think you owe more. Like, if there's a cheating situation, you cheated on me, you got to pay for everything.
Right? What kind of decree is that? Like, oh, I didn't know about that decree, the cheating decree.
Well, again, and I think in the beginning of divorce, you're so pissed off and angry. It's like, it's your fault we're getting divorced. It's your fault you left. It's your fault you did that. You want to blame somebody else. You want to not feel this shitty. And then when you have to think about money on top of all your emotions that you're going through, all the things in the people in your lives, and you no longer have another half of family. You no longer have someone else to say, yeah, he's an asshole. Yeah, he's this. You no longer have those people on your team that have been in your life forever. So financially, you also have to ask those questions like, where do I go from here and what is fair?
Yep. All right, Miss Rachel, you have knocked it out of the park again. From no notes, from just pure on the head, off the forehead to the mic.
Not eating in 2 days, and I feel great.
Well, we're wishing Rachel a fast recovery and all that good stuff. But
David,
thank
and
you
tell
guys.
Your friend it's okay that he went back to the warm spot.
He only did it once.
Okay, just listen, once. Tell him also that any cash that he had to give out, not work an extra day, any cash he had to give out is worth it, because look where he is now.
Yeah, and it didn't feel good, he said. It did not feel good. He said it felt foreign, like a different place that he's never been to. It was like, what the hell? It was cold.
It didn't feel like home.
He said it felt like a foreign land. All right, everybody. Have a nice night.
Save your money. Make sure you know what you're doing and educate yourself.
Yes. All right, everybody. Good night. Bye-bye.